I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Halloween is come and gone, but I shall tell you something very spooky. My battery on the tablet is down to 1%.
Uh-oh.
So it's charging. But anyway, BlizzCon is back. An in-person BlizzCon, specifically.
And it's the only exciting thing that happened this week.
Yeah.
Sad.
Bungie fucked up.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd call that exciting, but...
It's exciting in a way that... it's disappointing for the people. It's exciting in a way of being like... So Bungie... The call was coming from inside the house all along. Like, Bungie's leadership is the problem.
Yeah.
Not Activision. Not Microsoft. Not Sony. You.
I would agree with that sentiment.
Oh, I went to do that you and felt something in my throat. Oh. Anyway, sorry. Yeah, welcome. Hello.
Yeah. Gamers Through Podcast, your weekly roundup of news and commentary related to the video game industry and anything else that might pique our interest.
If you give us $90, we will give you this podcast 3 days early.
Whoa. Reference. Foreshadowing, perhaps.
That all of maybe three people listening will have understood by the time this comes out, and not until we tell the story later.
Yeah.
Anyway, should we talk about a lot of things you could play?
Yeah, I mean, if you had a life and you had free time and you could play video games, you could pick one of these things up and melt your eyeballs with it.
I melt my eyeballs every night, Matt. Joke's on you. They're molten.
Molten balls.
I dip my balls in magma. Number one, The Foglands for PS5, PSVR 2, and Quest 2. Number two, Headbangers Rhythm Royale for the PC, PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. Number three, Jusante for the PC, PlayStation, and Xbox. Number four, Little Goody Two Shoes for the PC, PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. Number five, You Will Die Here Tonight for the PC. On Halloween. That was released on Halloween.
Nice.
It's a good spooky title.
Yeah, it's a good call.
This Bed We Made for the PC, PlayStation. Number seven, Fusion Paradox for the PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. Number eight, Ninja or Die, Shadow of the Sun for the Switch. Number nine, Blasphemous 2 for PlayStation and Xbox. Number 10, Achilles, Legends Untold for the PlayStation and Xbox. Number 11, For the King 2 for the PC. Number 12, My Time at Sandrock for PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. Number 13, Phantom Galaxies for the PC. Number 14, Played Up for the PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. Number 15, Power Wash Simulator VR to the Quest 3 and 2. RoboCop Rogue City is officially out for the PC, PlayStation, and Xbox. Number 17, Slime 3K for the PC. Number 18, Star Ocean, The Second Story R. JRPGs. For PC, PlayStation, and Switch. Number 19, The Talos Principle 2, coming to a Steam sale near you for the PC, PlayStation, and Xbox. I never played the first one, but I just remember every Steam sale I've ever seen has always had Talos Principle in it.
Yeah.
Always. Like, front page, one of the main advertisement ones. Number 20, Matt's favorite game on this list, Thirsty Suitors for the PC, PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. Number 21, my favorite game, Bratz flaunt your fashion, complete edition for the Switch.
All right.
Number 22, DreamWorks All-Star Kart Racing for the PC, PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. Number 23, Fashion Dreamer for the Switch. 24, Quantum Error, PC, PlayStation, Xbox. And number 25, WarriorWare Move It for the Switch.
I like to move it, move it.
Yeah, I like to move it. Wild. Bunch of lemurs, man. Bunch of lemurs. I think that's the right animal.
I don't know. I don't know anymore.
Somebody's going to yell at me. I don't remember. Sorry. Deal with it. I'm old.
I'm ancient.
It's true. You are older than me.
Just take me all back and shoot me. End my suffering.
Like a limp horse.
Do you want to do odds or evens?
Evens. That list was a lot longer than I thought it was.
The list you're going to nail is going to be a lot longer than you think it's going to be as well.
Which list is that?
The BlizzCon
list. Then it's the list that should be mine. It is the burden I bear.
All right.
I am the Blizzard employee.
Oh.
That calls in the night. I am the one who knocks.
I hope they're paying you.
Oh, well, they're owned by Microsoft, and Microsoft has been paying me the entire time. Game Pass.
True. Yeah.
Have you heard of Game Pass?
Have you heard of your Lord and Savior Game Pass? Number one, NetEase and industry veteran Greg Street has formed a new studio, Fantastic Pixel Castle, and have announced the start of a development on its first game. Fantastic Pixel Castle will operate as a fully remote studio and is preparing to begin the hiring process for developing an MMO codenamed Ghost, which is based on a new fantasy IP. Street previously worked as a lead systems designer at Blizzard Entertainment on World of Warcraft and as an executive producer on League of Legends MMO at Riot Games. Another one.
That being said, I'm kind of in the I don't give a shit. It's Ghostcrawler for people that know him by that name. But this is going to sound disingenuous. It's like, cool, okay, he's doing one, whatever. But his Twitter is always a lot of like, yeah, we're interacting with the fans. And we're like, we're asking questions. Like, what's your feedback? What would you want in an MMO? Yada, yada, yada. And he was doing that while he was still at Riot.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen nothing out of Riot. So I'm like, is it just farming engagement? Like, I need something to see. You got to show me something.
I think that's kind of the problem with the current, like, way media is handled when it comes to games is they want to like drum up attention, so they like announce these projects like right when they're starting them. An MMO is going to take you 4 to 5 years to make, at least
minimum.
So like, why even say anything?
Like, you can just say I'm okay with them saying, you know, confirmed we do have a studio and we're making an MMO.
Yeah.
But their entire thing is that they're saying they want to like develop it alongside, like being very open and public about where they are in processes and whatever. And I'm like, okay, cool. So you're making a documentary on the fly, but I want the product. I don't care until the product is done. Because if you do this and never finish, what the fuck was the point?
Yeah, I don't like that whole thing where like they're always like, oh, we want to be open about how we're making the game. No one really cares.
I'm like, I want you to make it first and then be open as you continue.
Yeah. On changes and things that are like,
make a beta at least. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Number two, Electronic Arts released its earnings report for quarter two of fiscal year 2024, which is the 3 months ending September 30th, 2023. If anybody else, like me, hates fiscal years, well, there you go. With the firm seeing slight revenue and bookings growth, three EA Sports titles outperformed their expectations during the third quarter, even though we're talking about the second quarter.
I I don't have anything for you.
Okay. All right. Nope. Just make sure we're good there. Madden NFL 24 delivered net bookings growth of 6% year over year. EA Sports FC franchise helped boost revenue and total net bookings with FIFA 23 and the launch of FC 24. Apex Legends were down year on year, though EA said this was actually above its expectations. Overall, live services and other net bookings were up 1% year over year to $1.13 billion. Over the past 12 months, live services have made up of 73% of EA's business.
That's kind of nuts. It's kind of nuts. 73% all live services.
Yeah. Well, I mean, other than Star Wars, that's the only thing that wouldn't be live service. Yeah. In their entire portfolio, technically.
It's a little sad.
It's still wild. Mm-hmm. It's sad, but it's very much a cash prize if somebody is to buy EA.
Mm-hmm. It's like guaranteed income. All right, number three, Devolver has acquired System Era in a deal worth up to $40 million. European law firm Field Fisher, which is acting on behalf of Devolver, commented, quote, "The acquisition represents a strategic opportunity for Devolver to extend its reach beyond its core strength of premium indie titles, leveraging System Era's knowledge of expandable game style development, as well as its live operations technology and existing IP," end quote. The Seattle-based studio was founded in 2014 and released the sandbox multiplayer game Astroneer on PC in 2016. Interesting.
Yeah. Devolver buying people is always... I mean, 40 mil is not exactly tiny money for them.
Moving up in the world. Maybe, I don't know.
And Astroneer was pretty popular.
Yeah. I remember it. I mean, I know of it, so.
Yeah, that's all you need to know right there.
Yep. I know one person who played it and was fond of it, so.
There you go. Nailed it. You don't need more than that.
Nailed it to the cross. Anyways.
Jesus. I was about to read the same article. Number four, Bungie joins the ongoing number of studios to have job cuts. Bloomberg's Jason Schreier confirmed the report of layoffs, saying Bungie CEO Pete Parsons sent an email to staff informing them of a team meeting as the employees were being informed of the cuts. The layoffs at Bungie affected around 100 people, which is about 8% of its 1,200 staff. Staff laid off will receive a minimum of 3 months of severance and health insurance, as well as prorated bonuses. Community management and publishing teams seem to be particularly affected by the layoffs, with Bungie reportedly telling staff that these jobs will be handed to a third party going forward. It was reported from other publications that these layoffs were initiated by Bungie and not Sony. Michael Salvatori, the veteran composer who has worked with the studio for over 25 years, has also left Bungie. No one is sure if he left or was laid off, but that's a pretty fucking massive one for people that don't know all the Halo music that he did.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you see boys in the bathroom singing the Halo theme song, that's his song. I saw some of the favorite videos. You get that tile echo. Mm-hmm.
Good shit.
Monks in a church doing the same thing. Another good one. Bungie has reportedly delayed Destiny 2's upcoming expansion, The Final Shape, as well as its next full game, Marathon. And I've also heard worse things out of this entire story.
Yeah. I mean, you could feel free to rattle them off. They were, I tried to,
but
there were some conflicting reports, and then some things were unconfirmed. So I was like, I don't know how to try it here.
I'm going to reference a lot from, let me just pull up his Twitter, because that's where everything was. That I was
Twitter
you quickly mean, seeing
you mean X
yeah sorry I mean X I gonna give it to you I call it but our friend
Musk gonna give it to you
stop that our friend from Forbes Paul Tassie
okay
so shout out Paul Tassie but big you know he's a pretty good Destiny fan and he's always in there and doing things
That's true.
And thank you for me. Absolutely nothing you know, but I appreciate you.
Now, Forbes always has a lot of Destiny coverage, so I'm assuming it's him.
Probably. He's been digging further into some stuff and whatever. Apparently, management said other levers were looked at to avoid layoffs. When employees asked if one of the levers was executive compensation, they were told no and that it would not happen at the company. Internally, really no one is blaming Sony for this, even management. Some employees were told that if the Sony buyout had not happened, that with current Destiny 2 performance, the studio itself would have been in jeopardy if they were still independent.
How now, brown cow?
The final shape delay was known by some a couple months ago, but it is happening late enough where there cannot be a 30th anniversary size drop to split the season, and that took around 8 months to build. There will be something in the season 23 gap, though no specifics. They want the final shape not just to be as good as Forsaken or the Taken King, but better, hence the good, not great feedback that will be polished during a delay. It needs to be the best, and it's viewed as the key to turning things around. Final Shape campaign and features are reportedly quite solid, even in its current state, ahead of planned future work. They want to go even further. Some concern about crunch, blah, blah, blah. Where is the rest of the stuff I want, Paul? You tweet so much. So much. Blah, blah, blah. I really hope he has the things I wanted. I know one of his tweets is in my likes, and I can just go pull it out of there. But
what's it related to?
Their benefits.
Oh, the stock stuff?
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't know how that was going to be handled, because originally it was reported that I saw the benefits thing about it ending at the end of the month.
It ends at the end of the month, and everybody was being released on the 30th. So, yeah.
Yeah. But then I saw the thing that they were giving severances out and everyone's benefits were going to last for 3 months. So I was like, I don't know what that... The stock one, though, is interesting. So, like, that one, I basically, because of the transition between Sony and Bungie, like, the acquisition, there's, like, the unvested shares are, like, right, hanging in limbo. And if anyone had unvested shares and they were let go, those shares automatically default back to Bungie.
Yes.
And it's kind of like a really shiesty shit way for Bungie management to basically reacquire a good portion of itself.
Yes.
So, like, it's almost like they're maneuvering so that they could go independent again or something crazy like that, where they could just kind of like, oh, well, now we own enough of ourselves to where we can buy the other part out. Yeah, I mean, all the answers, especially, like, I saw the one that you talked about with upper management compensation would never be an option.
And which there is rumors that executives had already taken pay cuts before that or something. Yeah, but
they'd
bullshit. No, you give a number then.
And then them saying, like, oh, if we were independent still, we'd be in trouble. Like, that all screams of mismanagement. Because, yeah, like, how do you have... I know Destiny 2 has been rough, but there's no way that it's not making money.
Possible to make money.
So, which means you overextended, which means you mismanaged. Which is interesting, because I remember that was one of the topics that we discussed when Sony bought Bungie, was we were like, oh, I guess we're going to find out if the problem was really with whoever.
Because every time they had always blamed
The other entity.
And everybody was always pumped that they were independent. Yeah. And then you started seeing exactly what we were worried about when I made the comment last time about them leaving Activision,
mm-hmm,
is now there's no one holding them foot to the fire to hit release dates.
Yep. So now we're seeing that, like, you know, I don't want to say it's conclusive, but at least 50% of the problem is Bungie at this point.
All signs point to Bungie.
You got
to
look at the common denominator. That's what I always say.
Calls coming from inside the house.
When people are like, oh, you know, so-and-so's got went through and had another crazy boyfriend. Well, what's the common denominator?
The crazy female that's dating them.
Yes. Is it my turn?
Yeah. And number five.
Oh, why'd I scroll all the way down? Oh, yeah. I was looking. I was afraid you were going to get into the rumor roundup stuff when you started talking about Bungie.
I didn't write this.
I did. That's why I was, you know, you were going off the rails, and I was like, oh, no.
I was like, going off the rails?
You know, you wrote looking Bungie. Up, you were looking up tweet stuff, and I was like, oh, no.
Oh. All
right, number five, Ubisoft's chief people officer, Anika Grant, will leave the publisher in November.
Literally just put in this role, not what?
A year ago, I think?
Yeah.
Oh, it says right there. Oh, she was brought into the company in 2021 following a series of abuse scandals that rocked the business the previous year.
I remember that appointment.
I do, too. Speaking at the GameIndustry.biz HR Summit in September, she told attendees that the company's turnaround was, quote, on the right path, end quote. Ubisoft CEO Yi Gima said in a staff email that the search for her replacement is well underway.
Chief People Officer.
And she said, or he said, I don't know, one of them said that she left to pursue new opportunities.
Probably a lot of studios out there that need a chief people officer for harassment, to be fair.
Or she was like,
fuck this.
You guys aren't doing fucking anything I'm telling you to do. I'm out.
Why is your HR policy the same as your games? You just keep making the same thing over and over?
You goddamn stubborn French people.
Number six, Atari will acquire long-running U.S. developer Digital Eclipse in a deal worth $20 million. Founded in 1992, Digital Eclipse is best known for remastering retro games with releases such as Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the Kawabunga Collection, the Disney Classic Games Collection, and the SNK 40th Anniversary Collection. The studio has already worked with Atari on the acclaimed Atari 50, the Anniversary Collection. In a frequently asked question on its own website, FAQ for you, acronym users.
Dirty acronym users.
Digital Eclipse said it will still have the freedom to seek out projects with other parties. The acquisition follows Atari's purchase of Night Dive Studios for $10 million and retro community Atari Age earlier this year.
So they're in an open relationship.
Atari needs to be in an open relationship because ain't nobody want to be partnered up with Atari. They got to get what they can get.
Well, I don't know. They're making a lot of moves recently. They're buying a lot of things.
It doesn't mean that they're going to love you.
They're trying to try new things.
They're trying to court somebody, and it just ain't happening.
It's like the old man, you know, looking for the new bride. Let's mail order one.
Oh, okay.
I don't know where I was going with that.
What is that, any of that? I mean, Atari is an old man.
Speaking of not knowing where I'm going with things, number but seven.
It's like an old man downloading TikTok.
It is, yeah. And then like trying to dance.
Yeah.
Doing one of the TikTok dances.
Doing TikTok dances, yeah.
I don't fucking understand any of that. I'm too old. All right, number seven. Speaking of things I don't understand, a Nintendo patent application published last week details a new handheld reminiscent of the company's DS and 3DS systems, but with a third screen and the ability to physically separate the unit into two devices.
Two!
The handheld would consist of two separate devices with screens, the second of which would also have a screen on its reverse side. I don't understand this. The application specifies that the second part of the device can attach to the first in one of two different ways, changing whether or not the second part's rear screen covers the screen on the first part. I don't understand any of this. It doesn't matter. This is just a random fucking patent. The filing indicates that Nintendo originally submitted the patent application on November 11th, 2022, and also requested early publication so it would be made public before the standard 18-month time frame, which I don't understand why you'd want to do that. I'm not some sort of weird patent person, and this is worthless, and it's just Nintendo being like, we came up with this thing. Let's fucking make a patent on it, because why not?
Claim ideas.
All the ideas belong to me.
Listen, I want to comment on this, but I literally don't know what they're doing.
I don't know either. I think it's literally just
show me the thing, because it's anytime you guys talk, it's too confusing.
Yeah, I don't know. I got nothing.
Number eight.
I just like have stopped trying to make sense of anything Nintendo does.
Yeah, that's honestly, you're smarter for it.
Just hurts my brain.
Number eight, Microsoft will block the use of unauthorized third-party controllers and accessories with its Xbox consoles as of next month. Windows Central reported that some users have already been seeing an error message when using such devices. Sources told Windows Central that the new policy lines up with Microsoft's plans to enable third-party peripheral manufacturers to create wireless controllers for Xbox. At present, the vast majority of third-party controllers for Xbox consoles are wired, although the first wave of officially third-party wireless devices was released earlier this year. Even headsets are only able to work with Xbox if they receive appropriate approval and a special security chip from Microsoft that you can put into your skin.
Mm.
And then you can pair with your own Xbox.
Sexy.
Transformative.
Windows. I'll rub your Xbox chip on me.
Let me sync to yours real quick. Beep, beep. Windows Central has been told Microsoft now has an approval process for official third-party wireless controllers, and the new restrictions are likely to prevent unapproved devices from taking advantage.
Taking the PlayStation approach, then.
Fuck your third party.
Yeah. Security chip.
You're going to come through us first.
Which is fine. As long as there's no price premium, because that's the PlayStation issue. So, like, if you look at the one that I know of is wheelbases.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
The PlayStation version, even though the hardware is identical, the PlayStation version is always a couple hundred dollars more expensive, or at least $100 more expensive.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. And I don't understand why someone hasn't reverse engineered it yet. I know there's like the drive hub thing to where it like basically spoofs it being another device. But I'm surprised someone hasn't reverse engineered just like the security chip. But whatever.
In time.
Mm-hmm.
You keep, you tell the next one, I gotta go fucking mess with my ear. It's bugging the hell out of me.
He's got ear problems.
Not really, but I just feel like something, you know?
Oh.
Like an itch that I know I'm not going to be able to get in my finger. Just like
bugs in his ears.
Nah, that's not true.
Spider crawled in there.
Why?
Laid some
eggs.
What's
wrong with you? What's wrong with you? What's wrong?
He's going to turn into a fucking new, what are they called? New Buridi, new, what the fuck is that race called? Number nine. Sony Interactive Entertainment announced the acquisition of iSize, a London-based company founded in 2016 focusing on machine learning applications for video processing. Sony claims it will benefit the company's R&D and its video streaming services. iSize's website reveals three main products, two of which are directly related to that.
Nerubian.
Thank you. The former is an AI. Okay, so it's BitClear and BitSave. The former is an AI-based video processing technology that cleans up compression artifacts, such as ringing, blurring, and artifacts from heavily compressed content. The second iSize product is BitSave, which the company describes as an AI-based perpetual optimizer that allows encoders to produce higher quality video at a lower bitrate. iSize's third product could be of interest to Sony's PlayStation Studios for game development. Called BitGen, it allows live generation of photorealistic 2D and 3D avatars. I don't know what any of that means.
I mean, the last one would be interest of fucking Football Manager, so their regens don't have to look like shit.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. There you blow. There she blows. Did you get the spider eggs out of your ear?
Yeah, they're good.
All right, good.
I ate them.
Perfect. Yeah, they're delicious. It's like caviar.
Yeah, I figured what's the worst thing they had to do? Hatch in my stomach?
Yeah. Stomach acid will take care of it.
Yeah, trust me. After all that.
You'll get fucking acid-spitting spiders. Oh, Lord.
After that, Riggies, I'm fine. Cream. Ain't nothing living down there.
Just fucking... Just straight cream. I really don't understand those Riggies.
They're so creepy.
Someone clearly forgot to put some fucking tomato paste in that.
Oh, 100%. I think they threw tomatoes in and not tomato paste. And that's...
No, they're just like cream. Yeah. All the cream.
Do you like cream of tomato soup? And they're like, no, that's not how that works. All right. So I guess I got the big one.
You got, yeah, that's what I heard. That's what she said.
I don't think a female's ever said that. But I appreciate you.
You know what they say. Big feet.
That's true. Size 13s. Number 10.
Inconveniently large.
They are inconveniently large. It's really annoying, actually.
Yeah, I would hate that.
You go to the store, and you're like hoping things are in a 13 because everything stops generically at a 12.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's worse is it's not like a 14 or something. 13, you're literally one fucking size too big.
Yeah, and then if you really find one you like and they find it in a 12 and a half, and it's just there to piss you off.
Oh, yeah.
You got to try it on because you never know.
Mm-hmm. But it's always a little
But it's always just slightly too tight.
Yeah.
Oh, you'll work it in. You'll wear it in. No, you won't.
I played this game before.
That's a half hole. That's a whole half of a shoe, man. You ain't You want to talk about BlizzCon?
Yeah, let's do it.
You can ask me all the questions you have.
So that's right. I'm going
to talk about number...
That's my job on this podcast, playing the dumb guy.
And he plays it so well.
So well.
You wouldn't even know which one of us is the smart one.
If there was a dumb guy award for podcasting, I'd have it.
It'd be down between you and Greg Miller.
Oof.
That's a shot at Greg.
Oof.
Overwatch 2, ready? MAGA took center stage for Overwatch 2's news. The new hero wields dual chain guns and is playable this weekend. A new game mode, Clash, is coming to Overwatch 2, and sounds like a familiar tug-of-war type mode. It does. It's very similar to, I can't remember what the name is. There's a version of it in Battlefield. Rush, kind of. Rush, but the reverse version of Rush, where you can go back and forth with it, not just blow up two bases and then move forward. Call of Duty has a similar one. Interesting. Star Wars Battlefront actually has one as well.
Yeah. I don't know
what that one's called. That's the one that really makes me think of it. But it's a lot bigger than that. A competitive rework and two other heroes, Venture and Space Ranger, were teased with more info in the What's Next panel that happened later that day that we didn't watch.
Oh, I thought it was later on.
There might be a deep dive, but I think there was the What Next. Mm. I think What's Next was today and the deep dive is tomorrow. Because there's a WoW deep dive tomorrow as well.
Yeah.
Diablo 4, a competitive rework. And to what?
Two other... what the fuck did I...
This guy's trying to Ron Burgundy me.
I clearly copied and pasted the wrong thing.
So Diablo 4, Blizzard ran down the list of quality of life updates that they've issued and are going to continue issuing. Into Diablo 4. Season 3 is going to add leaderboards, and later Season 2 we'll see an enchanting preview heading to the Occultist, and more seasonal events are on the way. Good news, everybody. Gems are a crafting material. So they don't take up space in your inventory anymore.
I don't know what that means.
Just, it's good, Matt.
Okay.
Yay! So, do you like card games?
No.
Thank you. Hearthstone's next expansion, Showdown in the Badlands, is coming on November 14th. The same day that the raid and season starts for WoW.
There did seem to be a lot of things happening in November, and I was like, why are they stacking up November?
And this fiscal.
Yeah.
Get it done. I don't know when their fiscal actually ends. Anyway, so yeah, Hearthstone expansion on November 14th. It's got some obvious Western themes, including a jail mechanic. It was already revealed, but today there was a cinematic.
You know,
Hearthstone
cinematics always good.
Hearthstone is getting ketchup packs, which that is ketchup packs, not the sauce you put on a hot dog, which are big packs of collected cards from the last 2 years of constructed play.
I started putting Arby's sauce on my hot dogs. Game changer.
Every player who logs in can get some. and get more through upcoming bundles in an effort to catch up with the Hearthstone meta. For Auto Battler fans, Hearthstone Battlegrounds is getting a co-op mode called, oh, you guessed it, Duos.
Wow, original.
Never would have thought. Warcraft Rumble Season 1 launched today, and it's adding Sylvanas as a minifigure. Raids and more are on the way. More of that is getting discussed at the panels later this weekend. I have played WoW Rumble. I like it.
You have rumbled in the Warcraft.
I have. It's the rumble in the jungle, as they say. Mm-hmm. Me and Frasier. But the Frasier from the show Frasier.
Oh.
Not show. WoW Classic. Here we go. Cataclysm is real. They're going back. Deathwing's alive. Cataclysm is coming to World of Warcraft Classic.
Classic.
It's coming in the first half of next year with some changes.
But we don't know yet.
Some changes, TM. New seasonal servers. Season of Discovery is also teasing new discoverable content. The Season of Discovery will start with a level 20. This guy's fucking writing is killing me. We'll start with a level 25 cap, which will increase as time goes on. There will also be new content to explore, a new raid to be done when you hit level 25, abilities that you can mix and match. You can be a warlock, tank, mage that heals, a warrior that does something else weird. All starting on November 30th.
Thrilling. You gonna check that out?
The Thrill of Manila.
Okay. You gonna check that out? Well,
Season of Discovery? I might, but no.
Oh.
So I might, but it's November 30th, which means I'm still only 2 weeks into the season. Mm. So I got things to be doing. Now, over like holiday break, around like Christmas or something, when I'm kind of like in the, I don't know what else I want to kind of do, maybe I'll do this. Maybe then I'll try it out.
I like the idea of that because it sounds like they're going to be able to like,
or I'll tell you,
try some things, and people are going to be like, "Oh, I really like this," and then maybe they'll like sneak it into retail or something.
I have a
can
really,
you stop iPad?
I have a really bad feeling about this. There's one specific thing. So there's no public test realm or anything for this. They're just going to launch it and go.
Okay.
I pray.
We're praying
that WoWhead does not cover it at all.
Why?
I let people it's discover.
Oh, I get what you're saying.
Let them discover it.
You know they can't do that.
I know they can't. They can't help themselves.
Gotta get those sweet, sweet clicks.
But like, just let people play it. And watch like the little things kind of happen. Because it could be a lot of fun to just kind of like purposely watch. Even if you know and have all the articles ready to go. Mm-hmm. Like, wait a month. And then to be like, hey, there's this combo that nobody's figured out yet or whatever.
Yeah. You never know. Maybe we'll get lucky.
Now to talk about my favorite part of it.
The big guns.
Retail.
Scary.
Me and Chris Metzen.
Making out.
Wrestling in an oil bath.
Ooh.
Like the sauna scene from Yakuza.
Nibbling on his earrings.
Nope. We're just doing the Yakuza fog scene where you see the ass grab and toss and everything where they're fighting in the sauna. Great clip. But that being said, me and Metzen, we'd party so hard. It'd be so much fun. Guardians of the Dream is going live very soon, specifically the 7th.
Okay, there it is. 7th.
Tuesday. It's 5 days from now.
Good old Tuesday.
Tuesday. That's when that goes live, but the actual raid and everything starts on the 14th, so plan accordingly. But Chris Metzen back to the stage to reveal something much larger in store. The World Soul Saga. Billed as a story spanning several expansions, Metzen said this will have a pretty massive and epic,
epic
scope.
Epic was the word.
How epic?
Real epic. Yeah. He's not fucking around. He used the R word, real.
And instead of debuting one expansion by itself, Blizzard showed a glimpse of the next three expansions. The first expansion, World of Warcraft, The War Within, came with a new visually impressive cinematic trailer. In the trailer, Thrall and Anduin sit in Silithus and discuss the need to once again save Azeroth. As they stare out at the giant sword plunged into Azeroth herself, thanks to fucking Sarger. Here are main features for the War Within expansion. These are all things that were talked about in the WoW What's Next, if you want to watch the video, to have Morgan Day and Taryn Gregory and, oh my god, I forget her name, tell you about everything. Descend into the depths of Azeroth itself. Journey to a new level cap of 80 as you explore the vast empires beneath. Should I do this whole thing in Metzen voice? Beneath the surface of Azeroth and discover ancient civilizations, both friendly and adversarial, in four new zones. The surface level Isle of Dorne. The industrial Ringing Deeps. The unexpectedly bright and lush Hollowfall. And Aj Kahet, a pinnacle of Nerubian society.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Fancy.
Forge new bonds with denizens of the deep. As players progress through the main campaign, they'll meet the Earthen that have made the Isle of Dorne and these zones beneath it their home. The Earthen will be a new allied race available to both Horde and Alliance players. I hope their racials are good because I kind of want to like, and I hope they have good classes because I kind of want to play one.
They look fucking cool.
Right, which is why I kind of want to play one.
Yeah. You're basically like a dwarf made out of stone with fucking gems in your skin.
Yeah. And who doesn't want gems?
Yeah.
In their skin.
Do you think their balls are gems?
Bet they could be.
And the chicks' like nipples are gems? Like we're going here. Getting weird.
Yes.
And then you could literally be like, I'm so cold, my nipples could cut glass.
My nipples
because
are
gems.
New endgame pillar. For world content players, opportunities abound for adventurers looking to explore the secrets below the surface in search of great treasure.
If they're made out of stone, how do you think they poop?
Delves are scalable world instances for 1 to 5 players, which provide meaningful gear progression on the progression that will contribute to a new reward track in the Great Vault for world content players. So there's now a fourth option in your vaults.
I like the idea of that because it's like kind of like it lets like people.
I don't know if I like it.
Oh, this guy.
Well, put it this way. Fuck I don't mind it. I think it's fine. I just don't know what does that mean? Because like getting stuff out of the vault, if you're doing it's relative to the level of, like, the item level of it is relative to the content you were doing. So what does that mean for world content, which is always the lowest of, like, lowest level of content of all of the stuff?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't scale up, so I don't know what that means.
It kind of made it seem like they were making, it was there specifically for the people who don't want to do any of the other content.
Right, which is also fine, but I just don't know what power level does that get you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, I'm wondering if the drop rates are going to be weird too, because they, like,
am I going to be incentivized to do that as well?
I'm wondering if the drop rates are going to be weird too, and people are going to figure it out to where, like, oh, if you do this delve with, it's the you get better drop rates if you do it with two people versus one, you know, like that type of shit.
I think immediately that would not be a thing.
You never know, man.
Yeah, I mean, technically, yeah, you're right.
People make mistakes. They hit the wrong. They put the wrong fucking number in.
Live out your class fantasy. New hero talents for each class specialization will be provided to players for a way to progress their character with evergreen self-contained talent trees. Just so you know that how hard this is for me to read right now.
Jesus. you've been struggling, and I've been like, "Why is he having like a fucking stroke over there?"
No, it's because I'm having to like,
what is going on with that? Why is so? Funny story. I went to open my my banking application, First Source.
Okay,
and they had a new like a new terms of service.
Is that a new talent tree? Just trying to.
No, don't worry about it. terms of service.
Is your banking account a new talent tree?
Yeah. And but it had rendered, it didn't show up right on my thing. You have to scroll through it to get to the bottom to agree.
Oh yeah.
It showed up the entire terms of service. You know how long those are.
Yeah.
Showed up with all the letters in a single roll.
Oh.
So
no.
I sat there and had to scroll like this basically.
Yeah. For what? 5 minutes.
Probably 5 minutes. I don't know, because we were on break and I was just, the whole time we were talking, I was just doing this. It was great.
Anyway, live out your class fantasy. New hero talents for each class specialization will provide players a way to progress their characters with evergreen self-contained talent trees that also infuse class fantasy flavor inspired by iconic Warcraft universe archetypes such as Mountain Thane for warriors or a Dark Ranger for the hunters.
Although the druids are special, they get like,
because we have four specs, so we got to do something weird. And demon hunters are also special because they only have two.
Yeah, and they didn't tell you exactly. They said they're just different.
Yeah, what does that mean? Expand the potential of your alts with warbands. Players can enjoy account wide progression with all characters in their BattleNet account, regardless of faction. That includes shared war within renown, a warband bank, achievements, and more. Additionally, a new change to Transmog Collection will let players learn the appearance of any gear type, even if they cannot equip it. In the second expansion, World of Warcraft Midnight, players will return to the old world and the fabled lands of Quel'Thalas. The forces of the Void have invaded Azeroth and aim to snuff out the light of the Sunwell and plunge the world into darkness.
Ooh.
In the final expansion of the World Soul Saga, players will return to the wintry lands of Northrend and revisit Ulduar. There, players will witness the return of the fabled Titans and uncover a vast conspiracy that stretches throughout the history of Azeroth and challenge everything that we as players know about the Titans.
And that one's called The Last Titan.
That is called The Last Titan.
I'm realizing now I didn't put the name.
That's true.
Because I'm a fuck up.
Damn right. So, yeah.
All right.
BlizzCon. Man.
Woo. Thoughts?
Good thoughts.
Okay. There it is. Heard it here first.
Sorry. I got it. I like what they're doing with the evergreen, like purposely developing things they don't have to leave behind, bringing the dynamic flying forward. So now your regular mounts also have dragon riding.
I do say like the world design, the level design, and like the it they look fucking awesome.
Yeah. So doing that, adding a new allied race that's Horde and Alliance is very cool. Adding in the Warband stuff of having a Battle.net account like reputation wide and banks and whatever. Morgan Day's out there saying, we want to respect the time of the person behind the keyboard, and that's more relevant to their accomplishments than that specific character.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me go, holy shit, you finally fucking understand. Can I have my portals from my plus 20s be account wide now? Please, for the love of God. But yeah, it's just like, that's so nice. Not having to grind rep on another character, not having to do, like, have access to your bank, whatever. Like, that is just nice. And it does actually make you feel like if they were to do not player housing, because I know a bunch of people are going to be like, oh, we give me player housing. If they did a garrison style thing again, which was in Warlords of Draenor, where you kind of had a player housing, like you had your own personal base. It was your own zoned instance of like having a trading post and having a house and whatever.
Like all the other MMOs have done that.
Yeah. Like you had yourself a minor, a tiny city that you got to choose like what things were in. Which brings me up to a thing that they 100% would have announced during this if they were going to do it, but it makes me wonder. Because they did say that, tangenting 100% now, they said that 10.2 is like the last raid of the expansion.
Mm-hmm.
Which means there's probably still going to be a 2.5 and a 2.7. But this War Within was slated for fall of 2024, which means that this patch needs to last us a year, essentially. This major patch needs to last us a year. And they had always said back in the day of like, if we were going to do player housing, you'd have to lose a raid tier. Like, that's the only way we would ever be able to do it. And essentially, we are losing a raid tier if they're not doing a 0.3. But I feel like that's something they would have 100% announced and let go crazy, unless they wanted the focus specifically on expansion.
Yeah.
And if they wanted that specifically on expansion, but I think Warbands could very much make player housing kind of cool again as a concept. I don't, I mean, I partially kind of don't care, but I like the idea of walking around your garrison and seeing your other characters just kind of like idle doing things. Like rather than just NPCs in the world, you see your other characters walking around doing whatever and just kind of like living instead of just waiting for you to log back in and pick their dead corpse up and reanimate it and walk around.
That's a cool idea.
It would be interesting. That being said, Warbands is very cool. Very excited about that. The dynamic flying that they're doing, the world changing that they're doing, the actual planning of a 3-expansion story instead of just fucking winging it, which is what they seem like they've been doing for the last 3, literally since Metzen left. And also, Metzen could sell fucking ice in the Arctic, man. He is the charismatic one that I think a lot of people want Todd Howard to be.
I mean, it's kind of one of those things where, like,
he is my right now guy.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's one of those things when you have, like, a studio or we had this conversation a couple months ago where, like, I feel like there is, in the industry, there is a lack of.
We probably had it when Pete retired. That's probably
what it was before that, I think. Oh. There's, like, a lack of, like, personalities in the industry that galvanize, like, studios or franchises or something like that.
There's like very few that when they're telling you about their new game would make you want to run through a wall.
Yeah, exactly. So like,
like just happiness, not like, you know, we're just gonna go attack, but just
like Todd Howard was, I think he's kind of lost his sheen a little bit, but he was in that category.
And I don't think he's lost his sheen for what he himself is, but I think when he's trying to be sheeny over things that are clearly turds.
Yeah.
The Fallout 76 thing sunk him.
Yeah. And like, Metzen's that as well. And, like, especially for Warcraft.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was interesting. It was cool.
I mean, he got a standing O when he came out. Not another person that showed up for any other game during that opening ceremony, including Ibarra himself, I don't think got a standing O.
Yeah.
It is literally the prodigal son has returned home, basically.
No, it was interesting to watch from an outsider perspective. Just there definitely seemed to be a receptive energy to everything that was announced, and there is clearly like the focus is clearly like we have a plan. This is exactly what we're gonna do. They like showed enough to be like a roadmap. Essentially, they showed like a detailed roadmap.
Because I mean, arguably for almost of its entirety of creation, they've never had that.
Yeah.
They've always been kind of like, okay, we ended this expansion. How do we move it into the new one?
Mm-hmm.
Not here is a continuous storyline that fully makes sense and is coherent.
Mm-hmm.
That is actually purposely done in this way. And that we are also purposely developing evergreen things in.
Yeah, it's almost like they sat down and said, you know what, let's stop dicking around and just...
We have to change.
Let's do what people are asking for and just make things of quality instead of just trying to be like, ooh, flashy.
Yeah, and the part that still confuses me is Metzen said, we're working on ways to get you that content more quickly. Then they said, it's going to be a year before you see this. The only thing to me that immediate thought was, okay, we're going from WoW every 2 years to WoW every year, which is still very fast.
Yeah, it's hard for me. I mean, in one sense, it seems like they have a lot of groundwork like already laid, but in another sense, like to release a expansion that looks to be they all give the illusion the one that we've seen the most of, obviously. You know, it looks a little bit more fleshed out. The other two, it sounds like they are equally as fleshed out. So like
that would basically be if you did this way, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think my math might be wrong. I might be being really dumb here, but correct me if I'm wrong. You release in fall
of 24.
Whatever, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
For what I'm going to say.
All right.
Assuming that you release in fall 24, 25, and 26. Like, you're just a fall release now. That's what it is. That means you have 12 months to turn out 3 raids. Which means you have the first raid at launch, 3 months, next raid, 3 months, next raid, 3 months, next raid, end. Which, that is a go, 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 go that they have not almost never stuck to. Which is fine with me, because that's more new, not hitting these stagnant parts where you're kind of like...
Yeah, I mean that's the... It kind of worries me a little bit, just because...
And that's still... That's 3 raids with then still 2.5 months of the back end of just going, like, we're not doing anything, we're moving towards the new expansion.
Yeah. It worries me a little bit because, like, I don't understand how that would work.
It'd be very difficult.
And be good.
They would have to ramp a little bit in terms of team, probably.
Yeah, that's what my thing is. It's like, we haven't heard of them...
Not doing any mass hires.
Yeah, mass hiring.
But they're owned by Xbox now. So, I hate to tell you, I mean, Bethesda, unless
the only thing I can think of is that they're like... Instead of... That they're coming up with systems and tools and stuff that allows for the workflow to happen a lot faster. I think that's the
key of building evergreen means you don't always have to now...
Tinker?
Well, it means you can only... You can tinker. Mm-hmm. But it means you don't have to recreate everything every time in a new way to make this new. It's like, okay, no. Take Dragon Isles and we're going to do this kind of flying. Always build with this flying in mind.
Yeah.
Okay. Go. Do that. Here's these models. Here's how this has worked in the past. Here's this.
You'll have to come up with new systems all the time. You have pre-existing systems and you're just...
You're just telling... Now you're back into fight design and encounters and how does this work and how does this work. Because then you're still... If you're doing it the way they're doing it, which they've talked about this before too, because the way they're doing dungeons in those seasons, I assume, they're like, okay, we have 8 new dungeons. 4 as you level, 4 at the end. Okay, that was true in this expansion too. And then when you got to the first Mythic season, you said, okay, you get 4 of those new dungeons and 4 of these older ones that we've either revamped or pulled forward using the tools that we built in-house to modify them and whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay, Then you go to the next season, so you have four and four other old ones. And then you go to the third season, you have the Mega Dungeon. So they're only ever building one new dungeon after they launch those ones. And then they're just tweaking knobs on the old ones to keep giving you content. So they could easily get three seasons out of that. And then you're just kind of in a limbo for like 2 months instead of 12.
Yeah.
It's possible. It's scary because I don't want their quality to take a dip.
Yeah, that's, I don't know. It's
that's my concern.
Yeah. I don't know. They sold it really, really well. Skeptical of how well it's going to be executed. Hopeful, but skeptical. Anything else you want to say on WoW?
No.
All right.
I'll say more when there's more to say. Probably in eight
Fair
months.
Enough.
8 months after we get done with this next patch.
All right. Which leads us to rumor roundup. Sorry, I was trying to hold back all the fucking Riggy cream in my gut.
That is a sentence you should never say again.
I'm
Riggy cream just doesn't sound.
I'm on fire with the weird shit coming out of my mouth. Whoa.
Next, you're going to be like the Dew and start saying some real weird shit.
Oh, yeah. I can't come up with that stuff off the top of my head that quickly.
Really? You can't come up with your pussy?
I mean, my
I believe
the best
could.
One I've
believe...
ever come up with is Slit Sauce. So
that's true. That one's pretty bad.
All right, rumor roundup. David Hayter has returned to promote Metal Gear and teased on Twitter, quote, "This is only the beginning," end quote. So, you know, those Metal Gear fans.
It's only the beginning.
Yeah, they're real hype. They're getting all fucking coked up. I don't know if they get coked. They're getting all boxed up. Oh, their boxes and their, I don't know, getting weird. Anyways, several previously unseen videos from Alan Wake 2 have seemingly been data mined from the game and may point to potential future DLC content. The single-player campaign for Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 can be finished in 3 to 4 hours, according to players who've been playing the game in early access. Also, see how fucking big that game is?
Which one?
Modern Warfare 3.
I'm going to guess 120 gigs.
It's over 200, I believe.
Oh, hey. What's
it's
up?
It's 200 or more.
Yeah, which is probably depending on what parts you install or whatever.
Yeah. That's still ridiculous.
Yeah. It's absolutely ridiculous.
The upcoming Bond game from IO Interactive will have a style more in line with the modern Bond films, according to a new report. I think the statement was, it's more Daniel Craig than Roger Moore.
Interesting.
Yes. Rockstar Games LA Studio is recruiting NPC writers and cast for a new game.
Interesting.
PS5 Slim Spider-Man 2 bundles were leaked by an Amazon warehouse worker.
Who cares?
Yes. The Nelson and Murdoch sign has been re-added to Spider-Man 2 amongst rumors that the Spider-Man DLC will revolve around Daredevil.
Yeah, why not?
Sure. According to Konami's quarterly earnings results, there's more Silent Hill remakes in the works.
Okay.
And now for some Bungie rumors via leaker. Leaking. Anal leakage. Marathon was always meant to be an extraction looter shooter and was first playable in January of 2020.
Not 202? All right.
You know what? Mind your own goddamn business up there. Bungie's original goal was to have 4 games. Marathon, Destiny, Matter, and another game that would come from the incubation team. Matter was canceled in December of 2020.
But they've also stated that they have 3 games. They stated they're working on another one.
It's probably the incubation team one.
Yeah, which they probably just fired everybody in the incubation tank, so difficult.
This is my favorite one right here. Most developers from Destiny 2 working on Marathon are people that were burnt out on Destiny 2. Bungie. Living the dream. Living the dream. I'm going to read the short stuff since you had to go so long with the old BlizzCon stuff.
Sure.
Unless you disagree.
No, go ahead. You can go for a bit.
I don't know. You like reading on your cell phone?
I don't give a shit.
Okay. Damn.
Feisty. This stuff looks fine because it's not indented, so it's
okay. Game Studio Fantastic has delayed the day before again.
It's not real.
And it is now planned to release on Steam Early Access on December 7th, a day that will live in infamy. The decision came a week before the MMO survival game was slated to release on November 10th, while console versions will be coming at a later date.
We all know what happens on December 7th. Game Awards.
Yep. Is it the 7th this year?
Nah, I gotta look. I don't think it is.
I think it's the 12th, isn't it? What's it? I don't know.
I don't remember when the 7th is. If the 7th is a Friday, then yeah, it's the Thursday after.
EA will end support for Battlefield 1, Battlefield 5, Star Wars Battlefront 2 on Windows 7, 8, and 8.1.
I fucking hate that. I hate that entire thing. I don't...
I'm sorry. You're going to have to upgrade.
No, that's not the... That is not my problem with that story. Oh. Battlefield 1, Battlefield 5, Battlefront 2, Windows 7, Windows 8, Windows 8.1.
A lot of numbers in there. None of it makes any sense.
Absolutely not.
Ubisoft is retiring online services for some of its older titles. Assassin's Creed's Ezio Trilogy.
What?
Ezio Trilogy.
He is Italian. Come on.
Oh, fucking girl.
That's not an Italian accent, Nate. What are you doing? That is racist.
Italian little bitch. Might and Magic Hero 6 and Trials Evolution are among the 10 games to be decommissioned. The Finals Maker, did you end up getting involved in that?
I played a little bit.
Okay. The Finals Maker, Embark Studio, says it uses both recorded and audio generated via AI text-to-speech. This was in response to criticism the studio received from voice actors and game makers alike for using AI technology for its upcoming shooter.
Okay.
As of October this year, 2023, has seen 25 titles with a Metacritic score of 90 or more.
Sheesh.
The Five Nights at Freddy's film has pulled in $80 million domestically at the box office and $130.6 million worldwide. I heard it's terrible.
Yeah.
Disney Dreamlight Valley will remain a paid game as it leaves early access on December 5th. Disney Dreamlight Valley currently has in-game purchases and a monthly pass funded by in-game currency, Moonstones, which will remain optional and fair beyond early access, according to the developer. You're full of shit.
Optional and fair is a really weird way to describe those.
Yeah. In-game purchases and you have to pay for the game. Classic.
And they're fair.
Microsoft has announced the next batch of Xbox Game Pass games being added to the service, which, you know what? I'm not going to tell you what they are. Some of the interesting ones coming this month, though, include Football Manager 2024 for PC, as well as Football Manager 2024 console for cloud, Xbox, and PC. Fucking, you don't buy that. Did you buy it already?
Nope.
Nailed it.
Look at this guy. Look at me. Look at me.
Yeah, he's on
the Game Pass now.
Yeah. Also being added when it launches is Like a Dragon Gaiden. What do we settle on? Gaiden. The Man Who Erased His Name. And speaking of that, the Like a Dragon Gaiden? It's Gaiden? The Man Who Erased His Name took just six months.
Now I'm picturing you at BlizzCon doing that and then glancing over to me on the side of the stage going, yeah, no. you repeat the same thing back and forth and the crowd's like, what the fuck's he doing?
That game only took 6 months to develop.
Hell yeah. Look at these guys moving.
This is not accurate anymore, but most Microsoft employees will lose access to a perk of the job that offers them a free Xbox Pass Ultimate subscription. And then they said, we don't like that. And Phil Spencer said, you know what? You're right. I rescind that and you will all get Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, because everyone will eventually have Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, but most of you will be paying for it.
Phil realizing he bought most of the industry, and he's like, I can't lose those numbers.
Yeah.
That's too many people.
It's like, that's, you know, I don't know, 10,000 people or something. This is Nate's favorite. The second season of HBO's The Last of Us is targeting a 2025 release.
IGN Japan reports that From Software has begun large-scale recruitment for multiple projects.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple FromSoft projects.
It's a lot of fucking Souls nerds getting real moist. Moist. That's some trailers that you didn't watch.
We didn't watch. Godzilla Minus One. Actually, kind of looks okay.
It looks good. This trailer shows a feature of Godzilla that some people at my place of employment were not a fan of.
Dick?
No. Kind of, actually.
Godzilla's girth.
And then the boy and the heron is...
getting an English dub, and the cast is... Why is Robert Pattinson in it?
The cast is wild, dude.
I saw it, I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, but you wouldn't even think it's him. Like,
that's
when
true.
Hearing,
that's
you're
also
like,
true, yeah, yeah.
That's how they are, though. I love how Christian Bale, I'm pretty sure, is in every fucking English dub of a Studio Ghibli movie.
Yeah, why not? He's the Last Samurai.
He's kind of is. I mean, he's in Princess Mononoke, and I'm pretty sure he plays the fucking... warrior kid who's like basically a samurai.
I haven't watched the studio movie, so I have no idea.
Oh my god, you gotta watch the trailer for this. It's kind of trippy.
I saw it while I was scrolling Twitter, so
I like forget how good they are sometimes. And then I had the random idea
as I tell the Aiden story.
Yeah, I had the random idea of like, oh, I'll fucking throw it on and Aiden will love it. And I'm watching it, and we're watching Kiki's Delivery Service. And I'm like, wow, this movie's kind of fucking dark.
It's bright, though.
It's good. It's just like the theme was kind of dark. It's about losing your innocence. It's like.
But yeah, it's so it's been 7 days. What you been up to?
Nothing good, really. I restarted. So you know how I listened to that trilogy of books?
Which one?
The Ian Toll series that's about the Pacific Theater.
Yes.
That's like, I restarted listening to that again because they're so fucking good.
What do you mean you restarted listening to it?
I finished the first book today.
Who rereads a book? Who re-listens to a book?
I don't know why they're so good. They are so good.
This guy's addicted.
Watching anime, as I do. I'm gonna try. So I've said it a million times.
Here we go.
He opened mention the box. To the old Wafu. I was like, hey, we got to clean out the office this weekend because I have spent a lot of money on sim gear that's been sitting in the corner of a house for literally a year. So we're going to try. See how far we get. Probably not very far, but.
Hey, you got to get. So you got to start somewhere.
Baby steps.
No baby driver.
Yeah, that too. How about you? What have you been up to?
World of Warcraft. But only minimally for, you know, going into the next expansion. Played some airport CEO. Did that.
Enjoyed all right. That. Building. Managing some airports.
Yeah, managing some airports. I am at the, I think, final mission in Spider-Man now.
Wow. That was quick.
I got the prompt of like, hey, if you want to go do upgrades. So I turned around. I was starting to do some upgrades. I'm just clearing out the map of things I have before I go back and do that. That'll be finished this weekend. Then I'm going to start Alan Wake. What else did I... Playing Warcraft Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
If Football Manager is on PC, or on Game Pass PC, well, I'm fucking playing that. What else did I... Oh, and then like a Dragon Gaiden will be on its way, so I'll have a WoW season. I got a lot to.
The end of November is gonna be mid to end November is gonna be real rough for you.
Rough in a good way.
Yeah,
yeah.
Just like, you know, a lot of choice.
Yeah, but I'll commit to WoW. And then suffer the consequences for missing things other places. But yeah.
It's cool.
It do be what it do be.
Yeah. Gotta get some good WoW stories. Gotta find a new raid guild. Yeah.
I gotta find a guild to actually raid with.
Yeah, so I can get some good juicy stories.
I don't know that I want to raid.
You are such a little bitch.
Here it is. I'm on the fence, but part of me is
just
like,
embrace your desire to raid. And
I know people that would have me in raid, but there's just part of me that also is like,
I don't want to commit to that level of.
I just want to mute everybody and just vibe. I'm going to do my thing. You all shut the fuck up.
I'm
going to mute everybody but one person, and it's the one person I can tolerate listening to.
I just want you to find a guild that you like raiding with because you get fucking amped up about raiding, and it's great.
What does that mean?
I don't know. You just get amped up about raiding. You get real jazzed up, and it's like
I don't watch myself from the outside, so I don't know what that
means. It's not that. It's the level of like the passion when you're talking about it.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. Yeah. I still remember smoking damage meters and fucking Anduin fighting in Sepulchre.
Yeah, see?
Moist.
Moister than an oyster.
There were only two of us doing damage at all, and it was me and one other guy. We're both staring at each other like Spider-Man meme, like, oh, we're the only ones doing anything. Cool. But all right, yeah, then we will see everybody in 7 days. Until then, toodaloo, bye-bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.